You are back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. Police reform is at the top of the national agenda, and in a slightly different way, it's also a focus here in Hawaii. We have two interviews on that topic this morning, one with Police Chief Susan Ballard and another with Malcolm Lutu, the head of SHOPO, the State of Hawaii Organization of Police Officers. Friday afternoon, Chief Ballard spoke with our news director, Bill Dorman. He started out asking about recent events elsewhere in the country involving the police and their impact here in Hawaii.
Chief Ballard, you've condemned the killing of George Floyd and the actions around that. When you see what's going on nationally with protests and calls for defunding police departments, what's your gut reaction?
You know, I think it's, to me, it's a knee-jerk reaction. You know, defunding it isn't as bad as disbanding the police. But, you know, with the defunding, it's, you know, taking money away from the police departments and giving them to other agencies who, one, I mean, especially here in Hawaii, you know, while the, like I said before, like the social workers do an awesome job, there's just not enough of them to do the work that the police officers do. So I would suggest that instead of defunding the police, we should refund all the social agencies so that they can continue and to work with us side by side with the homeless and mentally ill, you know, juveniles, the status offense folks, you know, and then because I think us working together as a team is going to be a lot more viable than us doing it individually. And one of the things that we're actually just formed a committee on is that we are going to be reaching out to UH and several of the social service agencies to set up a pilot program where they will be riding with our police officer and responding to cases where we need some de-escalation, whether it's from mental illness, whether it's from domestic violence, or just, you know, dealing with the homeless.
Chief, you used to run the training division at HPD. Do officers get enough training on, for example, dealing with people with mental health issues?
When I was at training, we did have some, but we have in the past, I think, 2 years, we've really ramped up the training. We have the special training for our crisis intervention teams. We have mental health first aid. And even when we were at, when I was at the training, you know, as far as de-escalation, you know, the recruits learn it from the day they come in to all the way through scenario-based types of training to classroom types of training. So, I mean, and there never can be enough. I mean, anything more, we're even looking at getting a use of force simulator for the main station as well as a training academy so that we can try and have the officers come through on a much more regular basis so that we can get them more involved in this de-escalation of force.
Do you see a need for reform at the Honolulu Police Department? And if so, what does that reform look like?
You know, as far as, you know, reform specifically, you know, we can always, I mean, when you take a look at the eight can't wait, we for all of those areas, we actually comply. You know, is what we're looking at now with the use of force policy and the temporary halting of the vascular neck restraint, those are things that I think that we do really need to seriously take a look at to make sure that what we're doing is relevant for these dates, for the time that we're currently in. You know, training is always something that we need more of. But as far as overall reform, you know, we are so, I really think that we're so far ahead of the mainland. And I think what's happening on the mainland is it might not be the larger police departments. I'm sure there are some issues. Obviously, Minneapolis is an example. But, you know, a lot of, I mean, there's like 18,000, I think, different types of police departments. And the majority of them are just small police departments that may not have money for like body-worn cameras or money for tasers or things like that, you know, for intermediate uses of force. So I think, you know, a lot of it falls back on these smaller police departments, you know, for reform, you know, as well as larger ones. But from what I've seen, I really think that we are pretty close to being a very proactive police department.
You know, some of the national discussion now includes calls for more transparency. And are you willing, in your case, to make public information on disciplinary actions and investigations against HPD officers who've been suspended?
Well, I think since I've been chief for the last 2.5 years anyway, we have tried on at least 3 different occasions to put out information regarding disciplinary actions for some of our officers, and they've all been blocked. Either a lawsuit or an injunction was filed against me for releasing them, and all that is still pending in court. So, at this point in time, we're waiting for a resolution of these cases, we are in a holding pattern as far as being able to. But of course, if the federal government and or the state legislature changes that, then we'll follow, whatever the law is at that time.
And there is, as you know, a bill before the legislature, Bill 285, that would require disclosure of names in the release of misconduct records for suspended officers. Do you support Bill 285?
I do and I don't. And the reason I say that is that because, our officers sometimes are suspended for things that nobody else would ever have to deal with, for like the length of their hair or overdrawing gas or not turning in their mileage receipt, small things like that officers can be suspended for or disciplined for that no one else can. And I really don't think that that's something, I can see like use of force and, those types of things like that, but not, the smaller things that are more procedural as far as HPD is concerned.
But if there are smaller procedural items like that, don't you think the public would understand that as well and take that in stride?
From what we're seeing now in the world, I'm not sure if they would call. I would hope that they would, at least here in Hawaii. I think that they would be, but just for the officers, names out there for something that's that small, might be a bit devastating for them.
Another part of the discussion that's going on nationally when it comes to police departments is the role of police unions. Do you feel the State of Hawaii Organization of Police Officers, SHOPO, does that have a disproportionate level of influence on policy?
No, not for HPD policy. We do have, we call it meet and confer. So anytime a policy is changed or a new policy, we have a meet and confer with the union. And that's what it is. It's meet and confer. It is not meet and agree. So, we listen to their side. And then, of course, obviously, they may have a point of view that we haven't considered. So, obviously, we will make sure that we take that into consideration when we do the policy. But for having, undue influence, I would say no.
Moving to job vacancies, how many open positions do you have at HPD and what areas are they in?
Unfortunately, we're up to about 315 vacancies for our sworn side, they range from lieutenants, detectives, just regular foot officers, and just mostly patrol, obviously, because that's where the majority of our sworn officers are assigned.
And how's it going in terms of staffing and recruitment for you these days?
We're doing really good so far, knock on wood, for recruitment. We've changed the way that we do recruitment. It's continuous. Our classes before, when I first came in, was like 20, 25, and now we're starting classes with like 50, 55. So we're just now starting to realize larger graduating classes. And on top of that, the mayor was able to support us with our cadet program, or that's what we call it. Police service officers is what it's called, but we just call it cadet. So we're trying to get officers. So we've got, up to 300 positions that are full-time, that people can come and join the cadet program. There's no enforcement, but we start training you and teaching you about the police department to prepare you for the recruit class when you become 21 or when you're ready to make that step. So it can be people of any age. If you're ready to change your careers to a more stable and a very satisfying career, you could come and do cadet training for a limited amount of time. I've forgotten limited term position. You would need to transfer into a recruit class.
I did just want to get one final question in. You took over as chief of police on November 1st, 2017 under very challenging circumstances. Your evaluation for 2019 was released a couple of weeks ago, a positive one, and it noted that you've made significant progress in changing the culture at HPD, but you may not be completely there yet, was the phrase the commission used. What comes next in that area?
You know, I think just, you know, I don't know the specifics as far as, you know, what their thought process is on that. I think that within HPD, and this is just my take on it, is that, you know, we're never going to be perfect. I mean, we can strive for perfection, but our officers are human beings, and so they are going to make mistakes. But, you know, by reviewing our policies and making sure that they get the training they need, you know, like our crisis intervention training so that, you know, they don't have to use force on mentally ill people. They've got tools to work with them. So I think all those types of things come into play so that we can, you know, I mean, our ultimate goal would be that we would never have to, you know, use force on anybody. I mean, we'd love not to have to arrest anybody. I mean, that would be a, you know, that would be a perfect world, but unfortunately we're afraid that may never happen. So I think it's just, you know, just trying to attain the perfection, and we can always do better. You know, we never can sit back and say, you know, we've done enough, but I, you know, we always have to move forward by looking at being creative, doing new programs, and doing things a new way instead of always doing it the way that we used to do it before. Try something different. Don't be afraid.
Chief Ballard, thanks very much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Take care.
That was Honolulu Police Chief Susan Ballard talking with HPR News Director Bill Dorman. It was an interview recorded Friday afternoon.